Hi, welcome to Leading Agile's Sound Notes. This is Dave Pryor, and this is a podcast where we spend some time talking with coaches and folks who work at Leading Agile about the different things that they're experiencing when they're out in the field, practicing Agile, coaching our different clients, working with teams, and helping people get better at finding their way into a more evolved state of agility where they can deliver more value. And today, I am very psyched because I have Derek with me. And Derek, I'm going to let you pronounce your last name so I don't mess it up. Because I know I'll butcher.
Let's say we'll say Heather. Heather is that'll work.
Okay, I totally would have butchered it. So Derek is kind of a big deal. He's a coach. He's been doing this stuff a long time. He's been at Leading Agile since the very beginning. He's also an author. He's got a blog. He tweets more than anybody I've ever met in my life. And best of all, he does personal Kanban, which I do too. So that's a big deal. And we were talking about it recently. And we decided to spend some time talking about it. So if you are interested in personal Kanban, or you feel like you have too much to do, or you've got a small shrine in your home to Jim Benson, and you want to hear us talk about some of the stuff that Jim does, hopefully you'll enjoy this podcast. So Derek, before we get into it, can you talk a little bit about your work, like the stuff that you do day to day and how you're helping our clients?
So yes. So with our clients. So right now I am working with multiple divisions within a very large organization where we've been involved for a couple of years now doing transformation work. So we have different stages of transformation in different areas of this organization. And so I work directly with the vice presidents, directors, managers, but more importantly, I work directly with our coaches or transformation consultants in making sure that we are on point, that we are progressing through our transformations in a timely manner, and that we keep an eye on the goals.
Cool. So it sounds, Derek, like you have an awful lot to do.
Yes, I do.
And do you have a particular technique that you use to manage the work that you have, which is too much to do?
Well, yes, Dave, I do. It's called personal Kanban, yes.
Awesome. So how would you explain personal Kanban to somebody?
So personal Kanban is a simple but powerful tool that allows you to visualize your work, that is the work you need to do, the work you're currently working on, and things that you have recently gotten done. And it gets it all out in a visual open area so you can see it, everyone else can see it. And I think the most powerful component of the personal Kanban, beyond its simplicity and being able to visualize what you have to do and what you're doing, is that you limit your work in process. It's a constant visual reminder of what you should be limiting your focus on, focusing your attention on.
So I would like to present you with a situation that I've faced with personal Kanban and see what your response is to this. And because it's been a continual, I've been doing it for like 2 years and I still have this problem. So one of the things I noticed that's a big difference between Scrum and using, you know, Kanban techniques to plan my work is that if I was trying to do Scrum, I would decide how much I was going to bring in up front. But with personal Kanban, I've got my whole backlog and I'm just going to put everything in there that I'm not going to do right now. And then I'm going to move this stuff over into like my, you know, ready for today column. But, and I'm okay with that. And I can maintain a WIP limit that's fairly reasonable. And I've gotten away from having like, you know, swim lanes where I've got 9 different layers of stuff to trying to just do it all at once. But my problem is the product backlog. I always think of it like it's a nightclub that everybody wants to get into, and there's that rope, and then all the people lined up down the block that can't get into the party. My backlog just gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and the thing that causes me stress with this is now I'm always worrying about all the stuff that's outside.
Right.
Like, I know you're not supposed to look at it because it's outside, but I know it's there, and it causes me angst.
Well, sir, I mean, it causes me angst as well. I mean, so that is one of the biggest things I struggle with, and that is the focus on what do we need to do right now and what is really the next most important thing that we do next. And I really, really struggle with focus And so, right, the same thing that you're struggling with, I struggle with as well. And that is all the mountain of work and things that still need to do, that we need to do. And I'm thinking, what do I need to do today, next month, next year? And it can be paralyzing.
Yeah. You know?
And so the strategy that I've employed, I mean, so with personal Kanban, I'm using two different strategies. In one, that I use physical boards, and I also use a digital board.
Okay.
So to keep track, in a physical board, the physical board is something I immediately need to look at, and it's very tactical, it's very actionable, and everything that I have on my physical board has to be completed within the week. Okay, so that way I know at the end of the week, at the beginning of the week, what I need to accomplish, and then I feel good about what I've done by the end of the week, and because I'll see everything in the done column. But let's talk about the bigger stuff. So there are these big questions that kind of paralyze us, these big tasks that we need to do that take a long period of time that paralyze us. You know, one might be, how am I going to save, how are we going to put our son through college? Or what about that family vacation to Aruba that we want to take in a couple of months? You know, these are not things that are going to take us a week. And these are really big things, but we can get through them if we chunk them out over time, if we break it down. And so I keep a digital Kanban board that, you know, it syncs with my phone, syncs with my laptop. And the thing is whatever is in that to-do, work in process, and done column that's happening within the next week or so, that's also on the digital Kanban board. But that way, I can filter out the noise of the big stuff and leave it in the digital Kanban board on the backlog.
Yeah.
And so I can always go back every week, but it does something the physical Kanban board doesn't allow, and that is it allows you to hide it. And in reality, we can't
So we will visualize your work, but hide the stuff that you don't want to have be too visual.
Well, right. And so here's the challenge. Now, I have strong ADD, ADHD type of behavior.
Right.
And so any little thing can distract me and can derail me. And the way I help, how I can counteract that is filtering. I need to filter as much input as possible so I can focus on something. And so that means if I'm working on something, I have to close my email. I have to close my chat. I have to do everything I can just to sit and focus on whatever I have to do. And even then, if someone walks up to me, if a client walks up to me and starts talking to me and I turn and face them, immediately I am distracted. I lose focus. I forget what I'm working on, But what I've done is up to that point is limited the inputs,
right?
So that I can focus on something. And it's the same thing with this: is you have these big activities, and what you need to do is learn to filter them out a little bit. You don't completely turn them off, but know that you have to focus on the task at hand. And then when you have, capacity, some actual time, you can go back and review your backlog and say, oh yeah, that's right, I need to do this and this and this.
One of the things that was really interesting to me when I started to do this was that I became very hyper aware of how I work. And I noticed that there's certain work practices that a lot of people might say were wasteful. Like when I would talk to some of my friends who were like super lean guys, I explain how I'm doing this and like, no, that's waste. Just throw it all away. If you really need it, all those tasks will come back to you somehow. And that causes me so much angst and panic because I'm a project manager in my brain and I have to save everything because I might need it. So there's waste that I have in my practice in terms of regrooming everything every day and taking stuff out, looking at it a couple times a day that I know is wasteful, but that is necessary. And maybe, I guess for you, what some of the stuff that you just described to me seems like that would probably be wasteful for me, but that's part of what this has taught you about how you work. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. So, right. So if we're looking at the lean side of this, right, there are those valuable things you do, those not valuable but necessary things you do, and then the wasteful things that you do. And I look at a lot of what I do is wasteful but necessary.
Yeah.
And in order to get to the valuable stuff, I need to do this other stuff. But right, when you use the Kanban, right, you are acutely aware suddenly of the things that you're doing or not doing. And so before, you just assumed, you know, that, oh, yeah, if it was meant to be, then I would be doing it. No, that's crap. You know, we all have terrible, terrible memories, and we just have to come to grips with that. And so what we need to do is write it down. You know, it's like we want to make sure that we get the things done. Write it down. And get it as soon as it pops in your head, write it down. Otherwise, you're going to forget about it, and that's a missed opportunity.
Yeah, but then you accumulate this giant pile of stuff and then the struggle is, which of the shiny coins do I chase next? Because they all look really appealing. You know, I used to use things, and I tried to do getting things done. I was horrible at it, but I would accumulate. I mean, I did what you just said. As soon as it popped into my head, I put it someplace more responsible than me. It went into Evernote or it went into things. And I would come back and look at it, but eventually the pile became so overwhelming, I wouldn't even open it. So...
Good point. So I went through the same things. I've gone through getting things done. I've used Franklin Covey day planners. I've used to-do lists. And, you know, I've done all of those things trying to cope with, you know, just my day-to-day work and even with my client work. I've tried to use those ineffectively. And so, but what I have discovered, strangely enough, personal Kanban, I mean, I've been using personal Kanban since 2007 is when I actually started to talk with my clients. I started talking about Kanban back in 2007 on a portfolio level. I was reading David Anderson's work, and then I actually started really evangelizing personal Kanban back in 2009. That's about the time I met Jim Benson, and it just worked. And that was that one thing. You know, we all put effort into these processes, into these systems to help us get things done. But the question is the investment or the effort put into the system, are you getting a return on that investment? And none of those really had the payoff. Whereas Kanban, well, since I've been doing it since 2009, that was it. There was something about it. I don't know if it was tactile, visual. I don't know what it is, but it was a low enough effort and gave me the high enough return that it became habit forming for me. And I've been using it ever since.
See, I guess there's a part of me, I mean, I'm a big fan of it, but there's a part of me that wonders, I feel like I am much more mindful of how I work now and more mindful of the choices that I make about what to do next and what the payback, that like, not payback, what the cost of that is. Like, I'm going to work on this thing because I want to, but at the same time, there's this other thing and it's kind of like scratching the back of my neck that I'm not doing that other thing. So I'm like more mindful, more hyper aware. I don't know if I get any more done. And there's a part of me that sometimes wonders if, like you just said, it works and it's more gratifying, but I'm wondering if part of it being more gratifying is sort of this like stroking my own ego by studying myself and paying more attention to myself. And that makes me feel like I'm productive in some way. It's almost fetish. It's like fetishizing the way that you work a little bit.
Yeah, but I think – okay, so I'm going to say biologically I think it does something different. I think that biologically we do things, and you said you're hyper-aware of what you're doing. But here's the thing is when you use Kanban and when you move that card, you're actually really – you know, it's your body is releasing dopamine. It's actually – you know, you're actually feeling – physically better. Yeah. You feel that sense of accomplishment when you use that card, when you move that card. You're not going to get as much of that
by checking a box on things.
That's right.
Yes.
And it's strange that maybe that's what it is. Maybe I have addictive, you know, maybe I have really addictive traits, not just compulsive traits, you know, that I feel good, you know, better when I use Kanban because I can not just see the work, but when I actually move the card to done, you know, yeah. I physically feel good about it.
Yeah. It's interesting how it teaches you. I mean, it one of the things that it made me very aware of is I look at all the lists of stuff and kind of bemoan that I had this giant pile of things I had to do. And then when I'd look at each thing and try to figure out what was most valuable, I'd have to acknowledge that everything that I have to do that I'm complaining about, I want to do all of it. And I'm totally psyched to do all of it. And my biggest problem is I can't decide which of the things I want to do that I want to do the most. Because it did help me immediately eliminate the stuff that I don't want to do. I just got that off the table. Cat litter. You can't get rid of the cat litter.
You can't get rid of the cat litter, no.
Somebody's got to do that.
But I'm... Right. But I'm using it. So I'm actually, so if you look at my board, if you looked at my digital board, you would actually see different cards, different colors.
Okay.
One would be like my wife's honeydew list.
Uh-huh.
And then I have the Derek list, the Derek personal list. And then I have the business list, the office list. And so if you went to the client site with me, and I have a physical board right there. Part of it's for me, part of it's for the client. At any time, the client can walk by where I sit and they can see exactly what I've finished or what our team has finished that week, what we're working on right now, and what we plan to do. And so they don't actually have to waste time tracking me down saying, what are you working on? They literally have been conditioned to just walk by my area and just look at the board.
Can they add stuff to the board? Can they add stuff to your board? Are they allowed to do that?
Well, they can add stuff to the – they are allowed to do that, but it has to go in the backlog.
Okay.
So I see that because – well, that'll force a conversation with us, but that's totally okay. But they know if they disagree – it's just like when you're conditioning a scrum team. You know, yeah. You tell them, certainly you can work on this, and the product owner, we can add more stuff to the – you know, once the sprint is done, we can add more stuff. You know, but we got to wait until the sprint is done. They know, the customer knows, that they can put stuff in my backlog – but they just can't put stuff right in the middle of what I'm my work in process or what I'm focusing on. They don't have the okay to just put a card there. If anything, they do it in jest just to get a rise out of me.
Okay.
But again, it really helps us on point. You know, when I can go to the, you know, at the client site, we know what we need to do for this transformation. We know the next immediate action, okay, and the next immediate step. And we need to be able to communicate that on a regular basis to the customer. But the thing is, you don't want to be noisy. And so this is, again, another mechanism where they can come by and they can see what we're working on, what we plan to do next. They don't have to wait for the 30-day checkpoint or two-week or status report.
Or for like you that. To be they in the office so that they can come and ask you when you're there. They can just see it whenever they want to.
Right. And I've been doing – that's been working – again, since 2009, I was doing that. I was advising a federal PMO, and they did it was the same thing as they would come by where I would sit. They would look at my personal Kanban, and they knew it, whereas otherwise they would go from you know, consultant to consultant and say, what are you working on?
Yeah.
They never had to ask what I was working on. They just looked at the board. Regardless if I was there or not, I would just point to the board. When I was not there, they still knew what I was working on.
Okay. So is this something that you coach clients in how to do, or is it just more something you use for yourself? Because I think it would be easy for somebody to say, why the hell are these guys talking about personal Kanban? It's not about agile transformation. But I guess for me, because of the work that we do and how complicated and how swamped people can get, you do need tools to manage your own stuff. And this is a tool that I think both of us have found fairly successful, or, you know,
yes,
can be fairly successful.
Right. It's interesting. It's very organic in when they see people say, wow, you look really, really, really organized. And I'm actually, my response is actually, I'm very, very disorganized. I just have systems in place to help me get things done. And when they realize that, then like, oh, well, I'm that way too. I'm really disorganized. I need some help. And so what I've seen is, regardless of the client I've worked for, I've seen personal Kanbans appear in people's personal workspace because, again, it was – and they're asking, how do I do this? And so they'll approach me. They'll – like I did a lean coffee at a client site yesterday, and a couple of cards that came up were, how do I do personal Kanban so I can do this or that? And so they see what we do, and they see that we just don't do this at work. We actually do this at home as well, that we leverage these practices. So it interests them. They're very curious about how do they keep their lives in order.
Yeah. I sometimes wonder what we must look like to normal people. Because this stuff, you know, when you get really into this stuff, like, yeah, you bring it home and you make your whole family do it. And it's like an agile family. And it must be odd to normal people. When they look at
right.
It.
Well, yeah, but actually it's interesting is, right, if you came into my house, the same thing, you would see a physical board.
Yep.
And even our son has a Kanban in his room. And it, you can use it for whatever reasons. We've seen that, I mean, like with our son, it's like he got frustrated when he needed to do – he would get, just like us, he would get overwhelmed with all the things that he needed to do. And those things need to be, oh, you need to do your homework, or you need to scoop the litter box, whatever it might be, or even take a shower. You know, it's like, put it on the board. You know what you need to do. So it's not this overwhelming, like, don't forget to this. My point is, he sees it in, you know, he sees it all the time. He knows to do it. And then when he feels that it's an appropriate time, you know, he can pull that card in, and he's actually excited about it when he's like, I'm done with this, you know. And it, even like a project, and he was so frustrated. I could see the frustration in his face. And I'm like, it's okay, buddy. Let's start breaking it down. What do we need to do first? What do you need to do second? Okay, well, let's focus on that. And that was the thing, is let's focus on that. Little column says focus, you know. So regardless of something distracted him, he knew that when he got that done, that he's one step closer to getting this big project done.
Yeah.
And so hopefully he will, I mean, it's just a tool, you know, and hopefully this tool will help him, you know, as he gets older, you know, that he can get through some of these projects or assignments that he has to do.
I think that, you know, whether it's personal Kanban or traditional project management, that decomposition of work and just actually taking the time to lay it all out can be terrifying and very cathartic at the same time. But I want to ask you about one specific thing. Like, you mentioned your son taking a shower. So one of the things that I learned was that when I plan out my day, there's work things I have to do, you know, things for the house, just like you mentioned. And then I've got sort of, I would guess, I would consider them like personal maintenance things. Like, I know that if I don't do these things every day, I kind of turn into a bastard to my family. So, you know, exercise, play my guitar, meditate, whatever it takes to be a better person for the people that I'm around. And I found that if I had a lot of pressing work stuff, I would just let those other things go by the wayside. So one, I had to add them to my board. Two, I have to make sure to prioritize them and move those across and balance that out with the work. Because if I don't, then I'm not as, you know, I'm not a good person. I don't think to be around. So, but I talked to Jim Benson about it, and that I don't think that kind of stuff is stuff that he would put on his board. At least I didn't get that sense. But do you have to put things like that into your board to remember to do them?
Yes. So, yeah. So even recently, I actually put nap on my board, and it's, which is pretty damn sad. I mean, it really is sad.
I don't think it's sad at all. I think it's awesome. I think more people should do that.
But see, that's just it. It was almost, it was one of those things, I needed to do it. And it was almost like a joke, because it's like, I totally need to do this, but it just fits right in with everything else that I needed to do for the day. But it was one of those late ads for the day. It's like, I just put work in process or focus, go take a nap, because I knew that I needed to allocate some time for that. But and this is the tragedy, I actually felt better about the nap because I put it on the board, you know, and that I actually that I actually got it done.
Take a nap just to move the card across the board.
Yeah, and isn't that, it's funny, but even the things that you would think that you should just do, I feel better about it when they're on the board, they're in the mix with everything else, they have equal, they're not necessarily an equal value, but all of a sudden they are valuable, they are necessary.
They were valuable enough to write down and put on the board. It legitimizes them. It makes it like a reasonable thing.
I think what you said, that's what nails it. It legitimized what needed to be done.
So for the folks out there who are, because I know we both share, I believe, a similar opinion upon this, the nap shame has to stop. If you have the opportunity, whether you're sneaking out into your car, you're doing it under your desk, or you're at home and you can just go crash for even 15, 20 minutes in the middle of the afternoon, it's a very good thing to do for your productivity.
It was shocking that, well, yes, you need to take naps. You need to take naps. You need, every 20 minutes, you should get up out of your chair and take 5 minutes to do something else. You come back, you're going to be more productive. And I just happened to go a little too long and I needed that nap. But guess what? You're right. I come back, I was that much more productive. Yeah,
you get, for a second, I thought you were going to say you should take a nap every 20 minutes. I was that'd be awesome. I'm really tired from napping so much. So, all right, if people want to find out more about personal Kanban, I mean, it is a great productivity tool, a great way of coping with having too much to do. You can obviously go to personalkanban.com or look up Jim Benson's book. Do you have any other resources that you usually recommend to people?
Let's see, there's a couple other resources. I live and breathe by Lean Kit Kanban. So look up leankit.com. Okay. That's the digital version that I use. Of course, let's pay tribute to Sharpies and Post-it notes. Yeah. That's a great resource.
There is no substitute for the Sharpie and the Post-it.
Absolutely. I recommend using Pomodoro, which I mean, you can download apps for free or just get a standard kitchen timer, and that will help you stay focused on whatever task that you're working on. Let's see here. I'm trying to think if there's anything.
Other than Lean Kit, like I still, if I'm on the road and I'm not near my physical board, I still use Things, but I use it as a dumping ground. So I just put all my stuff in there, and then when I get home, I add it to the real board because I'm usually only gone for a few days at a time.
Right. I use Lean Kit because it's so far that I can say, Siri, send an email to Lean Kit, and it will. And I will do a voice dictation because I'm on the road like 2 hours each way going to the client site. Okay. And so I have these ideas. And so I just say, Siri, send an email to Lean Kit, and it'll put it right on my board. And so when I get to the job site, then I can review the ideas that I had on the way in. And then I can just start to massage my backlog or refine my backlog from there. But it looks great on the phone, tablet, PC. It's all this. It all looks the same, and it works great. And so that's why I use that one.
So you're like a modern day Bill Blazejowski. Like you pick up your iPhone, you're like, Siri, mix the mayonnaise right in the can with the tuna fish.
Yeah, but it's just to help set up my day. Yep.
Cool. All right. So you've got other stuff going on. I mean, if people want to find your blog. How do they get to your blog while I look up the URL on my computer screen? Thecriticalpath.info, right?
Thecriticalpath.info. I have a history of doing traditional project management and portfolio management, and that's where I started The Critical Path. Since then, I've done more blogging on Leading Agile's website, but you'll find similar content on both.
Okay. You've got the book?
I do host... I have the book. I wrote a book several years back called Zombie Project Management, and there's some similarities. You know, when you think of zombies and you think of project managers, it's uncanny, some of the similarities. And so I wrote this kind of a tongue-in-cheek book. Part of it was actually chronicled on my blog and using personal Kanban and to get through the process of writing a book. So that's out there. That's out on Amazon. I host Lean Coffee Baltimore every month. Okay. And again, that's something I learned from Jim Benson.
So what is Lean Coffee for folks who don't know what it is?
Lean Coffee is a lightweight but structured meeting or meetup. And we use what we do is there is no set agenda, but we meet once a month, and those who show up we'll set the agenda. We set the agenda by creating a personal Kanban, and everything's time boxed. That is, we'll have a couple of minutes to hear the conversations I would like to have this morning. We dot vote, and therefore identifying what are the most valuable conversations. And then we start holding conversations. And in the amount of time that we have to be together, we have the most valuable conversations, and we move through this personal Kanban.
Cool.
It works great.
Awesome. So how many people usually show up?
We usually have, it's funny, it works out to about standard scrum team size, about 5 to 10 people each month. It's a different mix. We've got our regulars and we mix it up a little bit. We actually have two different locations in the Baltimore area that we have this. And so we get, you know, one group is more scrum or scaled focused, and one group is all mostly entrepreneurs. And so it's kind of interesting to see the different conversations. But you know what? Startup companies, and you know, they wind up suffering from the same problems that big complex organizations have. So they're similar conversations. They just have a little bit different flavor to them.
Yeah. Cool. And so do you have anything else big going on in the future, like maybe in October?
Yes. So in October, we the Agile Baltimore group is our LinkedIn group. We are I'm in the process. We're about to officially announce we are having an unconference in Baltimore, and that will be actually on Columbus Day at the ETC Incubator. And so we've got the location, we've got the caterer, we're getting everything locked down, and we're in the process of getting some sponsorships so we can keep the price really reasonable for the attendees. And it is going to be a modified open space format. So it's not going to be this heavy, highly organized conference where we choose who's going to talk. It's who arrives that day will help drive the agenda for the day and which conversations we're going to have.
Cool. So anybody who wants to, I mean, it's not like straight presentations. It is more of an open space, but a whole conference organized with that basic premise in mind. You could come with a topic, but you have to see if people want to show up for that.
Certainly. So we actually, if you go to agilebaltimore.org, there's a little link there. You can say, I think this would be an interesting topic. Now that means an interesting topic I would like to hear about, or I would like to talk about. And okay. So it goes either way. And the idea is that's just to get the juices flowing. Again, at the end of all of this, come October, whoever registers and comes to the conference, they're going to drive the conference. They're going to be the ones who are going to decide what conversations that are going to happen. But again, it's not PowerPoint presentations. We do have organized space. It's not going to be the standard open space format,
right?
Because of physical area constraints, we will do some dot voting to see where and when certain conversations within the incubator where they'll be. But it's still whatever conversations you want to have with people, things you want to learn, talk about, put them up on the wall. We'll find a location in the incubator and a time during the day to talk about it. And again, I think it's going to be an awesome conference or unconference.
Cool. All right. Thanks. So I'm going to put links up to obviously personal Kanban and stuff, but also to your Lean Coffee event and the conference in the fall. And I will make sure to include your Twitter because you are a tweeting demon. But it's just your name spelled out, right?
It is, yeah, Derek Hueter. Be prepared because I lack a personal filter and all kinds of things go out there.
And if you're anywhere socially with him and he's taking pictures, make sure you close your mouth. Otherwise, there's going to be pictures of you with your mouth open right. Full of food on Twitter. So
there cool. You go. You never know what's going to happen. That's right. Yep.
All right, man. Thanks a lot for taking time to do this. And I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Dave.